Madame Thibault's Hall of Waxworks attracted a lot of visitors. The front of the building was bright with red and yellow lights, even during the day. Inside the hall were scenes of murders and other famous historical events, with lifelike figures made out of wax. Clive Wilkes loved the place, both the outside and the inside. He was a delivery boy for a small supermarket, so he was often able to find some free time during the day to stop and visit the waxworks. At the entrance to the hall, there was a man sitting at a desk selling tickets. Then, after passing through a dark area, you came to the main hall. There in front of you was a bloody murder scene. A girl with long fair hair was pushing a knife into the neck of an old man, who sat at a table eating his dinner. His dinner was a plate of wax meat and wax potatoes. Next, there was the 18th century Frenchman, Marat, who was killed as he sat in his bath. Then the murder of President Kennedy. And then a scene in a Nazi prison camp. Clive loved every scene, and he never got tired of looking at them. But they didn't frighten him as they frightened other people. They made him smile, or even laugh. They were funny. Why not laugh? One thing which Clive wanted to do very much was to spend a night in the hall. It wouldn't be too difficult. Clive knew that three people worked there, as well as the ticket seller at the door. There was a rather fat woman with brown hair and glasses who took the tickets as you went in. There was a man who gave little talks about the different scenes, though not more than half the people listened to him. And there was another man, small, with black hair, who walked around watching people to make sure they didn't damage anything. So one night, in November, Clive went in half an hour before the hall closed, with a cheese sandwich in his pocket. He hid himself in the shadows and listened to the three people as they got ready to leave. The woman, whose name was Mildred, got the money box from Fred, the ticket seller, and took it into a room at the back of the hall. Fred left by the front door, the others by the back. First Mildred, then the taller man, then the small one. When Clive heard the door shut and the key turn in the lock, he waited for a moment in the beautiful silence. Then he went to look at the room at the back where they kept their coats, because he had never seen it. They seemed to use it as an office. There was an old desk there. Next to the room was a toilet. In a drawer in the desk was the wooden money box, but he wasn't interested in the money. Clive started to enjoy himself. He found the lights and put them on, so that the scenes were all lit up. Now he was alone, so he could touch things as well as look at them. He stood next to the figures and touched their faces. He ate his sandwich and sang a few songs. By 2 in the morning, he was bored and tried to get out, but both the front door and the back door were locked, and there were no keys anywhere. He used the toilet and went to sleep on the floor. He woke up early and had another look around. He wanted to find something to take home with him. He stopped by a waxwork of President Woodrow Wilson signing a document in 1918, at the end of the First World War. Yes, he would have Woodrow Wilson's tie. When the hall opened at 9:30, Clive was hiding behind a screen. Members of the public began to come in, but Clive waited until 10 o'clock before he felt it was safe to join them. He left, with Woodrow Wilson's tie in his pocket. He was half an hour late for work. There was a job waiting for him, so he went off on his bicycle, Clive lived alone with his mother, who worked in a dress shop. She had no other children, and her husband had left her when Clive was 5. He was 18 now. He had left school early, without completing his education. Then he had spent a year doing nothing much. His mother worried about him, and so she was pleased when he got the job at the supermarket. When Clive came home that evening, he had a story ready for his mother. Last night, he said, he had met a friend and gone back to his house, and his parents had invited him to spend the night there. She accepted this story. Clive put Woodrow Wilson's tie in the cupboard with his own. It was a beautiful tie, pale grey and expensive. He imagined someone, Mildred perhaps, looking at the figure of the president and saying, "Just a minute! What happened to Woodrow Wilson's tie?" He felt very proud of his adventure and wanted to tell someone about it, but he had no close friends who he could talk to. By the next day, it didn't seem exciting any more. One afternoon the following week, Clive had another idea. It was a really amusing idea, one that would certainly make the public take notice. When should he do it? Tonight? No, he needed time to plan it. 2 nights later, Clive went to the hall at 9 o'clock and bought a ticket. Luckily, the ticket seller didn't really look at people. He was too busy. Clive went straight to Woodrow Wilson and saw that he was still without a tie. The murder scenes didn't interest him as much as usual. Some real murder scenes would be so much better. He laughed. He would kill the woman first. As the visitors went out, Clive hid in a dark corner near the office. When Mildred walked past him, in her hat and coat, he stepped forward and put his arm around her neck. She made only a small sound. Clive pressed her neck with his hands until her body fell to the floor. Then he pulled her to the dark corner.
"Has Mildred gone?"
said one of the men.
"Yes, she's not in the office. Well, I'm going too."
Clive jumped on him as he passed and attacked him in the same way. The job was more difficult because the man fought hard, but Clive managed to knock his head against the wall. It was the taller man who gave the talks.
"What's happening?"
The small, dark man appeared. This time, Clive tried to hit him on the chin. He missed and hit him in the neck. The man was unconscious now, so Clive was able to knock his head against the wall too. They all seemed to be dead. Blood was pouring from the heads of the 2 men, and the woman was bleeding a little from the mouth. Clive found the keys in the 2nd man's pocket. There was a pocket knife there, which he took too. Then the taller man moved a little. Clive opened the pocket knife and pushed it into his neck 4 times. They were all dead now, and that was certainly real blood coming out, not the red paint of the wax figures. Clive turned on the lights, which lit up the scenes, and began the interesting job of choosing the right places to put the bodies.